In the name of Jesus, the Son of God and the Lord of all, amen. Our lesson from the 30th chapter of Job comes near the end of the story. And to make good and proper sense of it, we should make sure how the story began. The book of Job, the story of Job, is driven by a question. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan appears before the Lord, before God. He's been out wandering around the earth. God wants to know, have you noticed Job, my servant? There's an upright man. He fears God and shuns evil. And Satan asked, does Job fear God for nothing? Job doesn't think so. Satan doesn't think so. Satan thinks that Job fears God because he gets something from it. After all, Job is a very wealthy man. He has thousands of animals and plenty of servants and a beautiful family. Take all that away, Satan thinks, and then we'll see. And then we'll find out that Job fears God for something. He doesn't fear God just because he is God, because he is the Creator, because he is the Lord. He fears God, Satan thinks, because he gets something. So God takes the bet, and Job suffers. In one afternoon, it's all taken away. The sheep are burned up by fire from heaven. Raiders come and take away the oxen and the donkeys and the camels. Servants are killed, and a tornado kills his children. Job woke up a wealthy, great man, and he goes to bed poor and miserable. But what does he say? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job fears God for nothing. Well, Satan isn't satisfied. You didn't let me hurt the guy. Let me add a little pain there. Then we'll see. And God says, takes that bet too. Go ahead. And afflicts Job and is afflicted with sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Now his wife sees this and says, curse God and die. But Job says, you are talking like one of those foolish women. Shall we take only good from the Lord and not the bad? And Job fears God for nothing. He fears God simply because he is God, because he is the Lord, because he is the Creator, and not for something he gets from it. But in a way, the story is just beginning. You take away all of his wealth, you take away his children, you take away his health. Then the story really gets going. Here come friends of Job, and they are real friends. They are devoted to him. They sit with him. They mourn with him. But they also criticize the way he talks, and they insist that he has done something, that he is to blame for what has happened. Job, for his part, maintains that he is blameless, and all he wants is God to answer him. Well, and the question then becomes, will Job fear God for nothing? Or will he demand some kind of answer? Will he require some kind of explanation? Will he need some kind of inner satisfaction? And on the speeches go. And on the debate goes. Now, this is a book of theology. It's not a book of philosophy. It doesn't leave you to wonder, what happened to Job? And what would I do? No, it comes to a resolution. Finally, in the end, God makes an appearance. But God has no answers for Job. Quite the opposite. Gird your loins, the Lord tells Job. Give me some answers. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Answer me if you understand. who measured it all off? Come on, you can tell me. Who laid down the measuring tape? And on the questions go. Questions about the earth and the seas and the clouds and the rain and the stars in the heavens. Questions about the animals running wild, about the great beast, about the Leviathan. Where were you? What did you see? What could you do? And of course, the questions are rhetorical. They aren't meant to elicit some information from Job, but to make a point, God's point. I am God, you are not. Job wants satisfaction, but he doesn't get it. And the question is, will Job fear God for nothing? And the answer is yes. After God speaks to him, Job repents. Job despises himself. Job understands that he had no business asking those kinds of questions. And he shows that he feared God, he believed in God, he listened to God, he trusted in God just because God is God, because God is the Lord, God is the Creator. Now, any reader of Job knows that the question is not simply whether Job will fear God for nothing, but whether you will. Do you fear God for nothing? If you want to put that in Christian terms, if you want to put it in terms of Jesus Christ, this is what he lays down. This is an essential question from Jesus. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. If you love your mom and dad, your wife and kids, your brother and sister, your own life more than me, you can't be one of my followers, Jesus said. Jesus came as the son of the God of Job. He came as the one God made Lord of all, to control all things, to do all things. And the question is, will you fear God for nothing? Will you follow Jesus for nothing? Will you do it simply because God is God? Will you do it simply because Jesus is Lord? Some people won't do that. In our time, one of the prevailing winds in American Christianity is called the therapeutic, and you don't know anything about it except that it makes believing, it makes God good for you. You believe because you get something. But the ancient question and the current question is, will you fear God for nothing? Will you follow Jesus for nothing? Jesus did. My God, why have you forsaken me? He says at the end of his life, hanging on the cross. He followed God simply because God was his Father and God was God. He followed God simply because God had said and God had ordained it. He followed God all the way to the cross. And God vindicated him. And Jesus promised all who do likewise will be vindicated. All who follow simply because God is God. All who follow simply because Jesus is Lord. And so in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and the one that God made Lord of all, I urge you. You who have been baptized into the name of the Lord, you who have fed on his body and blood, you who have heard his word, you who have been invited, you who have been called, you who have been justified and sanctified, I urge you to continue to fear God for nothing, to follow Jesus for nothing. Nothing other than God really is God. Nothing other than Jesus really is Lord. Not for your advantage, not for your profit, not for your good feelings. I urge you, follow God for nothing. Follow Jesus for nothing. We continue with the hymn.